heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum. Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.
We are back. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. I am here in the studio with Hugh DeFille, who is not only an idol. This guy, if there was anyone who embodied the catch it, cook it, eat it lifestyle persona, I would say that I got lucky and I found the guy. Actually, Sarah Brightis from Heritage came to me with her now husband and said, this guy wants to come fishing.
Cooked it.
And I didn't know who I went fishing with. I was just going with her husband. Uh-huh. And after doing a little bit of research on you and getting to know you, you are the guy who goes out and catches what he cooks.
Yeah. Like, totally.
And you have a show.
Yeah, I have a show in Canada.
Which is so annoying that we can't get it right now here.
Yeah, but probably because the bad quality of our English, it's not like on here in America.
I think maybe it has to do with the English, but it also has something to do with the fact that real television, good stuff, like, you know, where there's blood. Why is there blood? Because you kill an animal, and unfortunately, that's how it ends up on your plate.
Yeah, it's also, yeah, totally, you're right. it's kind of trash. We, you know, we would kill a pig and show everything from the start.
That's real. And like, and America, for some reason, can't stomach that. They don't want to know where their food comes from.
Yeah. I mean, it's changing. Mm-hmm. It's changing, but it takes time.
Okay. Why do you think Canada is sort of more comfortable with that than the US?
They're not. Mm. They're not.
Oh, have you gotten backlash from the show?
Oh, yeah, of course. Specifically from, like, Food Network Canada. Because the show, we did the show in French, which is like in Quebec,
right.
And it's our own national TV channel.
Right.
And they're like, for some reason, they agree with all we do.
Okay.
It's more like a Quebec part versus like rest of Canada, which is like, I don't know.
So you're from Quebec, yeah?
Yeah.
So explain to me exactly, how did you get your start? How is it that you were approached to do the show?
To do the show.
It's called Wild Chef, right?
Wild Chef.
In like, French, it's what?
In French, it's Martin sur la route, which is the name of the chef.
Yeah.
And Martin sur la route, I mean...
Who you've worked for forever. A long time.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had, like, to start from the beginning, I had my own restaurant.
Right.
And, like, it didn't really work out with the other share owners, so I had to leave.
Like all of us, we all share in this.
Yeah.
It's a hard go.
Yeah.
Especially when you're the boyfriend of your... I made that mistake.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, everyone
and now
has
you're
his
doing
own
it.
Mistake. Anyways, so I left the place. I thought I would have like some vacation for once in my life. So I go down like the countryside to see my parents.
Yeah.
And my parents, like, they barely knew how to pronounce my name because, like, they haven't
seen you.
They hadn't
forever.
Seen me for so
long.
So
long have you? It's Martin, what's his last name?
Martin Picard.
Picard. And he's known for his foie gras.
Foie gras,
He's a controversial chef because he kills a lot of geese, right?
Yeah, he's controversial, but at the same time, really consistent with what he thinks, and it makes sense at the end. It's not controversial just to be controversial.
Right.
It's controversial in a good, a good way.
Well, and his whole policy is like, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna pick the mushrooms and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna kill the animal and I'm gonna, right? I mean, he's a...
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's
also
real.
It's like to be in contact with all parts of productions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would go and like harvest your home carrots.
Sure.
You would go pick your own mushroom and you would kill your own... you would fish or you wouldn't kill your own animal.
So you were... I mean, we first met because you came to New York and you're opening a restaurant here, right? Which is exciting for us New Yorkers.
Yeah, it's exciting and scary a little bit. But.
And that's going to be in Long Island City?
Yeah, in Long Island City.
So exciting. Do you guys have a name picked out?
We have a name, yeah. Like, cause we, I mean, we've been working on that like for so long, yeah. And now it's you know, it's Magasin Wells. It doesn't mean a thing. We might change.
Say it again.
Magasin, which okay. Which store in French?
Okay.
You know, and Wells, which is the middle name of my wife.
Okay.
So,
and I feel like you guys are gonna absolutely blow up. I feel like you're one of those people who you came here sort of like under wraps, like sort of secretly. Nobody quite knows your
history. In the container overnight.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. No one quite knows who you are and what you do. And as soon as your restaurant opens, it's like suddenly the cat's going to be let out of the bag. And it's going to be awesome because it's going to be controversial, I think. They're going to be like, this guy has foodies are going to go crazy for you. That's all. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but like before, like pleasing foodies, yeah. I just want to please the people around, people right. from the neighborhood. And then like, of course, if they're pleased, like good for them.
Sure.
But like, I want to cook for people. Right. I'd say it's important for me.
But I just think given that your past is, well, we got to talk about the show. I mean, the show is basically about going out and finding these animals, mm-hmm. catching them yourself or hunting them or whatever you got to do. Yeah.
Trapping sometimes.
And I love it because you use every single part of the animal.
Yeah.
Is that something that you learned from Martine or is...
I was hunting back then with my dad.
Okay.
And like I come from like far in the countryside.
So you're like a real farm boy, right?
Yeah, kind of.
And a dropout. I love it, man. You've got a real chef's past. It's awesome.
A real, I'm really like.
By the way, we are making a paella. It's about 500 degrees in here. If anyone can hear me outside, we're suffocating. And the reason I asked Oog to come and do this is because he does a lot of outdoor cooking, and the show is constantly you're on the move. You're going to remote locations. You're working with this animal, and you guys are like sometimes cooking in 30 below zero.
Totally. Because I'm far like just like that being said. Yeah. You know, I'm really far from being like a paella expert.
Not a
paella. It's my first time.
But you
but I have
look,
a great fun. There's like and I feel like I'm catching up on my Spanish right now.
No, I'll just say there's like 100 people outside at Roberta's right now, and Oog is. He had the whole place looking because he makes it appear that he knows exactly what he's doing. Is that just from years and years of cooking? That even though you're not following a recipe, you basically know what to do.
You know, just looking at the ingredients, you know what should come first. Okay. And you want everything to be cooked perfectly at the end. So you won't throw like a bunch of ingredients together and just cook it like and expecting to have a good dish.
Right.
Because you would know you know for a fact like cooking in like mussel for years and years that like if you cook mussel for 25 minutes it's they're gonna be hard as rock.
Right.
You know, and things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You also have that sort of ability as a chef to just make things look pretty. I mean, I was just noticing how you stack everything, and it just looked good, you know?
Yeah, this is like...
I think you surprised yourself, because sometimes, you know, there comes a time in people's career where they're like, holy shit, I do know what I'm doing.
But it's my second year like, with the TV show, and it's a radio show, so I get this reflex of, like, you know, displaying everything, nicely.
Okay.
I might come from there.
Okay, got it. So, I mean, that's cool, because you learn certain things, I guess, with the... TV cooking is so different from real cooking because you have to pour things a certain way and show them everything and
but we try to keep it as genuine as possible, but of course you have to cut the corners at some point and and it's so, like
sorry I just I want to know about what it's like to go out and have one of these experiences. I mean, like the shark fishing looked remarkable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so did you know beforehand what the recipe was going to be, or do you come up with it at the time?
I know. Of course, we would like, and it's the same thing working with Martin.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he never knows. He never knows what exactly he wants. But at the end, he comes up, but like at the last minute, when like everything, like he has to deliver the merchandise, you know.
Right. He's getting paid the big and bucks.
Okay, now I know. Now I know we'll do that. So you have to be prepared. You have to make as much prep as you can just to you get to know how to deal with the guy, you know.
Is he a tough guy to work for? Big personality, right?
Yeah, it could be tough to work for people that really like buy the book and they need to know in advance and to get prepared. But when you like open minded and you really to it's like a spark, you know. It just like it pushes you to do
So you're newly married. Are you cooking a lot these days?
I'm cooking because I'm unemployed.
Yeah, so you cook and at home to
you
save
know,
money.
Obviously, we're opening a business, so I need we need to save a little money.
Right.
And it's cool. Like you know, the spring kicks off, and we got all the markets, the ramps, and stuff like that. It's
so you
inspiring.
Haven't been here yet for the spring season.
But briefly, maybe like for a trip or two, two or four days, but not that much.
Ah, it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah,
and so walk me through some of the episodes. Like there was the shark one.
Shark one. We would go deer hunting.
Okay.
We would go woodcock hunting.
Okay.
Woodcocks.
They're little
birds.
Right.
They're delicious.
Looked like you guys took a blowtorch to them.
So you get to pluck them and then you need to blowtorch them.
Not very much left to the bird.
Yeah, it's so little, but it's delicious. Right. It's delicious.
Right.
And then we would go, the last episode, which was like one of the most amazing one, we would go up north in the Eskimos place, and we would would go seal hunting, eat everything.
Wow.
And they eat everything raw. They're incredible.
Yeah. So you hunted, you actually speared a seal?
Oh, no. they hunt like with guns.
With guns.
Yeah, with guns. Okay. They would club the little babies, which is like, can we cut this part?
Yeah, right. No, I want to know about this. No, seriously, though, because why are they going for the young ones?
The young ones?
Yeah.
Oh, the young ones, it's another story, but it's not, you know, it's just like when you go deer hunting.
Yeah.
And you get, let's say you get a permit. In certain zone, you would get a permit for babies.
Okay.
And even like for the doe.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't leave a baby without his mom.
Sure.
You know,
sure. So you take them both.
You take them both, or you go for the baby first.
Yep.
Because it'll die. It'll end up dying anyways.
I didn't even.
So
know that.
it's the same thing. It seems really barbarian, but it's like there's something. I don't want to go I don't want to go too far with that.
But that makes
a lot
perfect
of controversy
sense. If you shoot the mother, the baby's gonna die.
Yeah. Boom. Totally.
Right.
Totally.
So. And the whole thing from start to finish, are you guys done completely with the show?
Oh, yeah. It's like, who knows? Maybe they'll come back like, yeah, you know, we love your show.
Right.
And the show was a frank success.
Okay.
So we never know. We never know. But like it's from time to time, they might end up like calling me, you know, when the show's coming back and we need you around.
Is there any chance it'll be picked up in America?
I wish. Yeah. I wish that would be awesome. Yeah. But it depends of you guys.
Right.
You know?
It's so real. It's so. I mean, it was. It's just like it looks just awesome. I mean, the places that you guys are going, and I was struck by how Canada's like traveling the world. I mean, you guys, when you go up to Nova Scotia, you got some of the best fishing in the world. When you go hunting, you've got the best. I mean, it's such a vast, open country. That it's almost like you filmed the entire show in just in Canada alone. Didn't
in
you?
Canada, I would say even more like just in Quebec.
Yeah, just in Quebec.
Which is the southern part of Canada.
Okay.
But of course, it's just like the United States.
Yeah.
I was telling you lately.
Right.
We have the same resources.
Mm-hmm.
The country is as wide as the United States,
mm-hmm.
but we're like maybe 1/10 of the population that.
Right. It's as if the United States hadn't been populated. Like it's back when
that's
the
it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. And, Native and Americans top, roamed the.
And in top of top of that, we get the North,
yeah.
Which is like there's no one who would move and go live up there. It's freezing cold. Right.
But Nova Scotia is really one of the most beautiful places I've been in my whole life.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And there's coast, lobstering and there's hunting.
Near the Fundy Bay. The Bay of Fundy. It's beautiful. It's
beautiful.
And for some reason, all the school of fish, they go there for some reason.
That's their natural migratory path or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah.
And we did a little East River fishing, you and I.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it.
We had fun.
Fish too. Sarah caught a big fish.
Yeah, a big striped bass. I was like, why would we have to release that guy?
Oog was so pissed off because he's like, you know, he's used to being able to keep anything he wants to turn into one of his delectable dishes. But I was like, dude, you got to put that fish back. He's like, no, we take it. We take it home. I was like, dude, you have to. And he's like, no, I want the crab, I want the eel, and I want the fish. And I'm like, what are you going to make with a crab and eel and fish? He's like, oh, you'll see. So... Now tell me a little bit about what we've got going on here.
The paella is cooking. You know what? Like, we're almost there.
Okay.
I think the rice is cooked.
Okay.
So.
We used a long grain brown rice.
Which is not proper at all.
And we don't even have a paella pan, but we're doing a Dutch oven version.
Yeah. I would add just a little more broth.
Okay.
And then, you know, maybe we can just cook like our shrimps.
Yep.
And scallops. Just like to steam them on top of the pot.
Perfect. Okay. Doing? Shrimps are going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make a lot of clanking, clinking, and clanking noises so everybody knows that we're cooking here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. There we go. And then we move. Perfect. Perfect.
You know, we're steaming, but...
we did
it
this...
It sounds like we're searing.
It was cool, actually. We started out with... our peppers, and then we sort of one by one started adding all our ingredients, and then we Oog is very good at knowing what ingredient is going to add flavor to the next ingredient.
Yeah.
So he uses the peppers to add some flavor to the, what was the next thing we put in? I don't even remember now.
You know, I don't either, but like,
the onions,
what's important when you cook like that?
Yeah.
And to save all the flavors.
All the flavors.
All the fats. You've been cooking like all along. You try to save everything.
Sure.
I mean, you won't.
And like, you know that mussels, garlic, and onion can only taste good.
Yeah.
So why cook the mussels without the onions? Cook them together, right?
And there's a way to catch up on bad things that you would have been done.
Oh, really? What's the trick to saving yourself as a chef?
Saving yourself. You know, I should have seared the scallops.
Yeah.
You know, seared scallops. They got brown colors.
Okay.
They got a different taste
a little texture.
As well.
Yep.
But I totally forgot.
That's
and
okay.
The shrimp could have been seared as well.
Right.
But, you know, instead, we're just going to steam them on top.
And we have shells on.
Yeah.
Shells on.
Yeah.
On everything, actually.
Yeah.
We have it. We have lobster claws, shells on. We have shrimp, shells on. And I think it's pretty traditional of paella. Apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently paella was started in a region in Spain that actually wasn't even known for its seafood. So it had no seafood in it.
Yeah.
So it's a more modern adaptation.
But there's something, because I've been to Spain. Been to Spain not to make paella at all, but like to kill pigs and make hams and...
to slaughter.
Near Madrid, to slaughter, totally.
I think they picked you for the show because you grew up on a farm, so slaughtering just doesn't really bother you that much.
I mean, it always do something to me.
It does?
Yeah, it does. Because it's not easy.
Right.
It doesn't have to be easy.
Right.
But you... You have to know what it's all about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, like, this is obvious, but there's nothing really that makes electrocuting a pig in a big factory like we do in the U.S. better than, you know, cutting its jugular. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. But they're still, like, going to stun the pigs,
right.
But there's a way to do it.
Right.
And when they kill, like, one pig every 12 minutes instead of, like... Instead of like killing like I don't know like 12 pigs in 1 minute,
sure,
that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And you get involved with the killing.
Yeah,
it makes things different.
Right,
you feel it.
Right,
and it's not easy, and it doesn't have to be easy. When it become easy, there's a problem.
Then
with
there's
that.
A problem.
Yeah.
So it should it should have an effect on you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, totally, okay. Totally. It's killing
a live thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Now, tell me about the foie gras past. I'm just really interested.
Oh, I got a large foie gras past.
I know you do. It is not the most popular topic in at least in the U.S. You know, California's banned it, right?
Yeah, not yet,
not
but like
totally.
Soon, yeah.
And I think there's rumors about New York doing it.
Yeah, New York. Like, but you guys still have a farm in Hudson Valley.
Okay.
Which is like, they're
the best.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Okay.
They're really small, but they do things right.
What is the process in foie gras that people take such offense to?
It's the force feeding process itself.
Okay.
But it's a natural process. Yeah, no, but it's true. It's true. It's a natural process. I mean, geese and ducks would force feed themselves before migration.
Okay.
But like, we're just pushing it a little bit more.
Got it.
But it's not from yesterday. Okay. It's from like Egypt. They were doing that like, I don't know, like 500 years ago.
I didn't know that, really.
And it's and the ducks, they're not, you know, when you're bringing me in a slippery.
So no. This is real. This show is called Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. So come on, it's like, this is the only show. If we can't talk about it on this show, then we can't talk about it at all. Because
yeah,
this is the point of the show, which is like, you know, you got to know where your food comes from.
Yeah. So yeah, totally.
In the case of the foie gras, though, your history has been like almost like a deconstructed version of foie gras. It's not like the super high end fancy, like you have a little, you know, teaspoon of it on the end of a something.
No, it doesn't make sense. Just like as a truffle, you know. Yeah, people will put a shaving and they'll like charge you $20 extra for that. It doesn't make sense.
So you
doesn't
treat
make sense.
It like a burger?
We wanted to, yeah, totally. We wanted to make it accessible for people.
Okay.
And to make hot dogs, hamburgers, like, you know, familiar taste, familiar like concepts and vehicles.
Okay.
Then people can go like easily for that and enjoy, and then maybe go for something else that as a cook would like challenge us even more than making a burger.
Sure. So, and this was from which restaurant that you were sort of introduced to this?
That was like definitely from the Pied Cochon,
which was your second sort of
I've been like all over, but like in my but the most important one. Yeah.
But was this a Martine restaurant as well?
Yeah, I started it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are you feeling kind of, are you ready for your new undertaking? Is it like you've worked for so many guys for so many years doing so many different, I mean, is it time for you to have your own restaurant again?
It's like, you know, you would ask like, is it the right time for you to have a baby?
Yeah.
It's never the right time.
Right.
It's never the right time, but you know,
if you want to make an announcement now, go ahead.
No. I'm not pregnant. That's fine.
And Sarah's probably looking in the window. Careful. Yeah. You guys are going to open what, in May? Is that the idea?
In May and maybe in June, but like hopefully in June. Yeah.
So probably it'll be 3 months from June.
Yeah.
If I know anything
anyways,
about restaurants.
Anyways, you know, we can wait. I can wait to cook and to be into it. It's just like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. How would you describe the food given your history and your.
Giving my history?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we entered the diner.
Okay.
And entered. Like we took over a diner.
Yeah.
And. I like this idea. So far
so
from my
like
culture.
It looks like a diner? Is it really?
Oh, it's a diner. It's
so
a dining
cool.
car. It's a dining car
so
with
cool.
chromes and
awesome.
All like, you know, the stools at the bar
right.
and the booth. And it's exactly a diner.
It's great.
What I had like, you know.
Yeah.
So of course, it's challenging me also just like to think about doing a diner kind of food,
right?
Because I'm so not familiar with that, but I like the idea.
Yep.
And there's something comforting for like into a diner, just for Americans.
Sure.
You can get in, and you know that you won't get screwed. There's something about that, even for me, that's like from like a foreign country would go if I had to get
diners?
Lost. We do, but it's not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
But how
if
much?
If I had to get lost, you know, I would go straight to a diner instead of going like
because
knocking
you can
at
trust
door.
Them. You can
yeah,
trust them.
Totally.
Right. So, but how much of your prior cooking past is going to make its way into the menu?
It's more about the idea.
It's not a foie gras diner, is it?
No, no. We'll have, like, of course, but foie gras is just an ingredient that I know so much.
That you know a lot about. More than, probably, like, more than anybody next to Martine in the world.
Yeah.
This, like, is our probably. Foie gras guy.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to what animals you have worked with that most people have not had the opportunity to work with. In the, you know, I mean, you've done a fair amount of exotic species.
Yeah, but just when we think about seals, of course, nobody had worked with that.
Right.
And, like, I'm thinking about, yeah, when it comes to hunting.
Yeah. What about, didn't you have starfish too at one point?
Oh, yeah, starfish. You know, we would scuba dive for, like, starfish.
So you dove and got those guys.
Yeah, starfishes and... and sea urchins.
Okay. Also diving, picking them off. Yeah. Rocks. So awesome.
And a cool... Nah, yeah.
Don't you miss like the show? Like, I mean, that must have been the coolest lifestyle ever.
Yeah, of course. It's awesome. It's awesome. And then, like, you shoot the show once a month, and you have fun, and you get a good crew.
Right.
Of course.
But in Canada, if you walk down the street, do people go, oh, my God, that's Oog from the...
Yeah, sometimes they have, like, a bad, like, bad feelings
oh,
about
really?
Me.
Oh, really? Protesters.
Yeah, that's a guy who killed yeah. Fargo and stuff like that. They don't kill the dog. We kill foie gras. That's
right. Get him. Yeah. And what's gonna happen if suddenly the show does really well and they go, Oog, we need you back on the show with Martine. Sorry, you have a brand new restaurant. You're gonna have to.
Yeah.
What do you do then?
I mean, like. He'll figure it out, just like me leaving the place.
Sarah, I feel sorry for Sarah.
No, but the diner is my baby now. Yeah, it's like, yeah. So it's,
and why America? Why did it make sense?
No, America's beautiful.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
And would you rather open a restaurant here than in Canada?
You know, it was time for me to leave. Mm-hmm. I would have compete with my,
Your
know,
guy.
My ex chef place. It's a small, mm-hmm. and I've seen. Mm-hmm. It's not just
cool.
Like in New York, and I like. You know, we're gonna be opening in Queens.
Right.
And Queens is just it reminds. Awesome. It reminds me of just like my Montreal.
Really,
it's kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah, I like
it. And it takes some guts. I mean, it's like a ballsy chef that goes and opens in an area that's not. You know, sort of established yet, totally.
Yeah, but like, you know what? We don't care.
You don't
care.
We'll
make
come.
It work.
We'll come.
We'll make it
I'll
work.
I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Yeah, and rents are a little bit lower, and you've got a little more breathing room. And
yeah, totally. We'll please people from the neighborhood.
It's great.
Yeah, they'll have fun.
It's great. Yeah. And then what do you think is sort of your, I don't know how to put it exactly, but what do you think the future holds for you given, I mean, do you see yourself as a chef, a restaurateur, a TV personality? What's your...
No, TV personality, certainly not.
No.
It was just like...
It happened.
It happened.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah.
I've been proposed to do that show, and I had a great fun,
right?
And I don't regret it at all.
And you're good at it. I mean, I think you're naturally good at.
Maybe some people would say so.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, no, I'm a chef. I like to touch things. I like to cook.
Okay.
I like to be behind the line. I like to sweat. I like to swear. You know, I like to drink.
Do some swearing. I want to hear some swearing. So what's gonna happen? Are you gonna be in the kitchen?
Is that I'll be in the kitchen to start.
Right.
Like, totally.
Right. It's
totally.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. How are we doing over there?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe we overcooked.
Oh, man.
No.
It looks, man.
It's all right. It
looks good.
You know what? I would like, we have a bunch of things that
Throw them in. Go for it.
Okay.
Okay. We got our muscles look fantastic.
I'm going down the basement right now. I'll come back.
We're lucky. We have everything right here on hand. This is going to be amazing.
So, adding the muscles.
You know what, though? Our liquid has not cooked off all the way.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. We're just going to keep steaming the things.
This, by the way, folks, is like, he's putting in the chicken. Oog has probably cooked in the most adverse conditions of anybody. So doing it on a radio show while he's talking, not super stressful, right?
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's just like
what was the hardest you had to do? Hardest conditions?
Definitely when we went up north.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know. Temperature can drop from from like 50 down to minus 20 within 20 minutes.
And I saw you literally, you were cooking in a bit blizzard. There was snow on the ground.
It's terrible. It's terrible. There's nothing like it.
And the stove, I saw you bring in on a crane.
Yeah, the stove, like carrying the stove in those conditions was terrible.
Right.
It was terrible.
Was there ever a point where you're like, you know what? I'm done with this show. Like, this sucks.
You know what? Not really. It's a challenge, and you just... No, it's kind of cool. No.
Right, right. Totally not. I guess because it's only, like, once per month, so it's kind of like you suck it up, you do a great job, and then you go back to your normal life. It's not like every day.
You got a hotel room, you know. And
they give you a nice hotel.
Waiting for you.
this is what they don't show you. There's a limousine waiting.
And they won't lose you either because they're filming you.
Right.
So they can always trace you.
Really?
They don't want back.
Right. They don't want to give you too much leeway and time on your own. That's really great. I mean, it sounds awesome. I'm praying that we get to see it here.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing. That'd be a good thing.
It's good for us because, you know, it's like, you know, when things... Unfortunately, things bleed when they die. And for whatever reason, the Food Network in New York is so scared of showing that. I mean, I actually chopped the head off of an eel and on TV. And they freaked out. They cut it. You see no killing. All you see is this perfectly skinned eel. They don't show the skinning. They don't show anything. And I'm like, I'm sort of shocked by that.
Yeah, it's shocking in a way. It's shocking in a way. You know what? We did a show about eels.
Okay.
So eel fishing. And it never dies.
But this is amazing.
It never dies.
It never dies. It's wiggling all over the place. Blood's continuing to spurt out of it.
Yeah.
And you've like skinned it and it's still twitching. Yeah.
But you know what? On our show,
we're
not just showing things like that. We had a veterinarian.
Okay.
You know, coming along and explaining why a eel would keep like moving that for hours.
Folks, it doesn't feel
with
this
head
at all.
Shut up and skin off.
Really? So it's dead at that point. It's
dead.
Nerves.
It's just a nerve.
Right.
It's just like, you know, post-mortem kind of reaction.
Right. That's what we all say to make us feel better about it. That's what I say about lobsters.
But
when I put the lobsters in and they're like, that's just air releasing from its body.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
They don't have vocal cords. Now, what do you think is going to be sort of the I don't know, like the outcome, I guess, of everything that you've done up until now? I mean, you've had this fantastic career, right? You're now married.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the most important thing.
That is very important. I agree. And good job. But now you're a New Yorker or what? I mean, you're here.
I'm about to be. About to be American.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, I'm moving down here with all that I had,
right?
With all my experiences,
right?
And just for the best, because I love the place.
Yeah.
What
about the city, though? That seems so unfitting to a farm boy. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I like this. I like this. Like having a pied-à-terre in the countryside and one in the extreme, like cities.
Okay.
Like New York.
Right.
Even like I was living in Montreal, but I'm not from Montreal.
Okay.
And that's. You know, it's like extending this like gap,
sure,
kind of in between city and country.
Well, I feel like New York is gonna welcome you with open arms.
I hope so.
No, they will, because you know, it's like we need more country boys. We need more. You know, you have like this very authentic past and history, and I think obviously in the culinary world, you're gonna add something to New York that is gonna be pretty extraordinary. And I just feel like we're lucky to have you, and It's going to be a good thing.
That's to say.
Easy there. Easy, easy, guy. Anyways, you guys have heard it here. That was Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It with Oog in the house. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
All right.
Ben was awesome.
Leaping from tree to tree as they float down the mighty rivers of British Columbia. The giant redwood, the larch, the fir, the mighty Scots pine, the smell of fresh-cut timber, the crash of mighty trees. With my best girlie by my side, we'd sing, sing, sing. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night, I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay.